Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello and welcome into the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I'm National Recruiting Analyst Cooper Patagna alongside 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting, Andrew Ivins. We got a packed show for you today on this Tuesday. We got the Elite 11 Atlanta recap. I was there in person alongside Anna Adams, Brett Greenberg. Bama 24/7 does a phenomenal job. Drew was at OT7 over the weekend, but also got the experience of the Florida Panthers game last night. So the boys have had a good week. Drew, I know you're feeling good as we roll into Tuesday. 2026 behind us. You had a big week, man. What, Saturday, Sunday, a little bit of 7-on-7 action, and now it's on national television, isn't it? I saw during the bottom line of the NFL draft, it was like OT7 NFL Network.
Dude, the stars were out in Orlando. It was in Kissimmee. All right, so we need to get that clear, but it's, you know, a 5-minute drive from the Orlando International Airport, MCO there. Coop, Nico Iamalieva was hanging out on the sidelines. Jeremiah Smith was hanging out on the sidelines, got a chance to talk with him. And then Ryan Clark was coaching one of the teams. And I'll say this, seeing Nico at first glance, like across the field 50 yards away, I'm like, who the heck is this? And I'm like, oh, that's the former 5-star quarterback. And then just chopping it up with Jeremiah Smith, I asked him, I'm like, how do you like Columbus? You know, do you have a favorite restaurant yet? And he said he doesn't leave the football facility. So that has me feeling even better about what Jeremiah Smith's going to do on the field here in 2024.
How's Nico look like physically? Like when you saw him, like were you like, all right, whoa, this is kind of a different guy than we saw in high school?
Yeah. And just towering over everyone on the field. Big dude.
Well, tell us about Jeremiah Smith.
He's just all business, man. He's all business. You know, he looked the part. They're in like sweats and it's like 90 degrees outside. So it's hard to get like the full body type profile. But he's just a pro's pro, man. And I cannot tell you how many people came up to him to take photos with him already.
He's that guy, man. He's got that profile. So Nico, Jeremiah Smith, OT7. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's start with Elite 11 ATL. I was there. And it was a loaded camp, man. I thought it was the deepest regional of the year. I thought about that. I wrote that in the article. I took liberty there, right? Obviously, you were at Columbus. Or some of our other guys have been to other events. But at least for me, I should have said specifically that I thought it was the most loaded quarterback regional event that I went to. I mean, think about the list of names. You had 5-star quarterback Julian Lewis was there. Our guy Antoine Hill in the top 247 as well. FaZe and Brandon, the new number one in 2026. You also had guys like North Carolina commit Bryce Baker. He earned an invite to the Elite 11 finals later this summer. Mason Mims from Louisville, we'll talk about him. You go down the list and there's just more and more names. So there was a lot of talent. And I think in a lot of those cases, you get in that event and you're like, man, I just hope I see enough of everybody. And there was a lot to like about Bryce Baker. But that was one you kind of go back and you're like, man, I wish I would have kind of like fixated on him a little bit more. But Drew, how about the biggest takeaway? I called you right when I was walking out. Kamario Taylor, Mississippi State, and our friend Steve Robertson covering Mississippi State for 24/7 Sports. He's been hounding me about this guy. He said, Coop, when are you going to get eyes on him? Well, we got eyes on him this week. 6'3", 205 pounds, live arm. You love everything from the shoulders up. Drew, he is such a like interesting guy. I thought immediately, and I kind of wrote this in my notes, but physically, you kind of put him in that kind of like Deuce Knight, Antoine Hill, what do we do with this guy type of category, right? And we're going to have to continue to study him throughout his senior season. But in terms of like the physical traits, he's got the goods, man. He was fun to watch.
I remember him from the National Combine there in San Antonio. I mean, you want to talk about eye catchers, Nico Iamaleava, Jeremiah Smith. I mean, you kind of gravitate towards him, muscled up individual. I'm glad, Coop, you saw him in the setting. You know, he is fun on tape, can beat you with the arm, beat you with the legs, plus athlete, multi-sport background. I want to ask you this, and I had this written down. Do you feel like Jeff Lebby in Mississippi State is kind of like an odd marriage with Kamario Taylor?
In what way?
Just fit in the system a little bit.
Yeah, I think from the fact, like, if you're Mississippi State, I mean, I think it's almost a layup. You can't pass up on a guy like that, yeah. Right? It makes a lot of sense. Like, from a talent standpoint, if that type of player is sitting in your backyard, it's hard to say, hey, we're going to go in a different direction. So I think there's an understanding there maybe with Jeff Lebby. Like, Kamario Taylor, at least in my opinion, is not going to be the day one ready player to come into Starkville and maybe change that program. Kamario Taylor, to me, and this is kind of my viewpoint and vantage point on him, similar to Deuce Knight, similar to Antoine Hill, right? Those are the two names that I kind of brought up. Both of those players aforementioned are going to need time. They're going to need some seasoning. So the raw traits are there when you see that player. But this is a guy for me that I think is going to need 2 years to develop at the next level from a footwork standpoint, from a polish, being able to change pace, being able to layer the football, all those things kind of come with time, come with reps. I think that's where Kamario Taylor is. And if you're Jeff Lebby, you certainly understand it. I mean, this guy is talented, right? In that bucket that I mentioned, it's like, it's kind of the boomer bust bucket, right? We can put him in that day three range, but if it all comes together, like, these are guys that can make a run to the top of the board fairly quickly. So
let me rephrase this. Just doesn't feel like he doesn't seem like the type of profile Jeff Lebby has gone after in the past. I totally get it. I mean, in-state kid, you know, he committed before Lebby was there. Like, I'm with you. You gotta roll the dice on this kid. It just has me recalibrating and thinking, all right, like, what is this offense going to look like? Are they going to play to his strengths if he is the guy a few years down the line?
It's almost like the traits versus like cerebral, right? And you have Jackson Arnold and you have Dylan Gabriel. Those are the kind of two guys that kind of come to mind when you think about Jeff Lebby. Those guys are quick, efficient, decisive, right? That part of Kamario Taylor's game's got to come together. But I mean, dude, in terms of the physical traits, the other thing, you go back, the combine footage has obviously not been released from Elite 11 Atlanta, but it has been released from the UA camp in Nashville. You see these big 10-inch hands. I mean, the way that he can grip the football, the command that he has. So he was a fun one to watch. Like I mentioned, man, Julian Lewis was there, and it was just kind of interesting to see Julian Lewis when you compare him to some of the other body types, right? Like, you put him in the same setting as a Kamario Taylor. You put him in the same setting as an Antoine Hill. Julian Lewis is like on the smaller side, 6'5", 185 pounds. There's not a ton of room for growth there. He kind of is what he is. But in terms of like being a pro when it comes to that event, going from period to period, being able to navigate that. All those things that I said Kamario Taylor right now needs to develop over the next 3 to 4 years, that's where Julian Lewis is. I mean, the floor is very high. I just wonder, I think you and I have had this conversation, the end of the day, you know, how many guys are you going to continue to see kind of in that Bryce Young bucket that can continue to overcome the odds of being the outlier at that stature and then play at such a high cerebral processing ability? And Julian Lewis certainly fits that category. You just wonder, man, that's asking those guys a lot.
Shooting from the hip here, best pure distributor, Julian Lewis, even dropping him into this bucket. Like, I think I would, you know, moving him from 26 to 25. Like, I still think he's the top point guard out there if you had to put a label on him.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, and ultimately at the end of the day, that position's all about how you play the game, right? And in between the years, and that's no question marks on Julian Lewis. But speaking of a distributor, Drew, I called you about this guy. How about Mason Mims, Louisville? You know, we keep coming back to him. He's in my area. We got him rated 88 overall, high 3-star grade. But like, in terms of fits out of all the quarterbacks that I've seen this cycle, I love this one. Mason Mims, Jeff Brohm, Louisville, he's committed there. I mean, this dude completed 72% of his passing attempts last year. You see him out there, and you don't get woed by the frame. You know, he's kind of stocky. He's like 6'2 and change. He's 210, The body's kind of dumpy, but he can make every throw on the field. We've seen him two times in the last month. Like, I like this kid. When you think about, like, Tyler Shuck, Jack Plummer, like, this is the type of guy that kind of fits Jeff Brohm. So, good early eval there.
Well, you said you've seen him twice. I think it is notable that that was his second Elite 11 regional. I mean, not everyone is going to have the opportunity to get out to two of those, but it seems like that kid wants an Elite 11 finals invite. Yeah, and he beats you from the pocket. There's no question about that. Great deep ball, or one of the better deep balls, I think, when we look at this 2025 class as a whole. And that marriage between him and Jeff Brohm, I think it's certainly a reason to get excited.
I wanted to ask you your thoughts on Bryce Baker, because it was a guy that you and I really didn't get to talk about much before going into the event. Committed to North Carolina, number 32 quarterback in the country, another guy that we kind of have in that Mason Mims category just in terms of rankings. He earns an invite to the Elite 11 Finals. The two guys that have been surprises, that I would say, in terms of earning an invite to LA are Bryce Baker and Tremell Jones. Right? And Baker kind of fits into that category as well. Drew, seeing him in person, you see this frame. I mean, he's old for his grade, but you see this frame, multi-sport athlete, 6'2", rocked up, carries it beautifully, really good athlete, compact throwing motion. Went back, dug in on the tape this morning. Like, lot to like about this kid.
I wrote him up back in February after seeing him at the National Combine. He was there with Kamario Taylor. I think Mason Mims was there as well. It's just funny, all three of those guys, but you got 900 kids on the field, so you don't know where your eyes should go. You're not seeing much of the quarterbacks. I think he's got elite lower body twitch, and I was going through your write-up, which you can find on 247sports.com, and it sounds like he was one of the best throwing on the move. Like, I think that is his game, and I think the final line I have in my write-up is going to have the most success in an offense that kind of wants to move him around and put him in position to make plays. I kind of love, I keep using the word marriage, but I kind of like the fit there at North Carolina for him.
You know, it was funny. I mean, this is not a perfect comp, but it kind of reminded me a little bit of Sam Howell, ironically, you know, just kind of the build and what they can do from the pocket. I think Baker, a lot more athletic. I mean, double digit, what do you average, 15 points per game?
He's already scored over 1,000 points on the hardwood.
Right. So he is an accomplished basketball guy. This is one of those guys that I think you and I'll take the liberty in saying this, but, like, you know, we come back to the drawing board, make sure we got our ducks in a row. You got to study, not just because of the multi-sport background, but now you got the live exposure of seeing him in person as well. The guy that continues to just have my mind in a pickle, Drew, Antoine Hill. And, you know, similar to Deuce Knight a couple weeks ago when we saw him in Oxford, I thought Antoine Hill had one of his best combine performances. And it's not so much about what Antoine Hill presents when you see him in person, because, I mean, everything about him, from the physical stature to the live arm, he can make every throw on the field. You just wonder, all right, what's this going to look like and how is it going to translate onto the field? And, you know, we said it kind of similar to our guy Cedric Bailey last year. You can slap the raw kind of label on him, but production-wise, they've done some really good things, right? There's some encouraging things there. Antoine Hill, for me, is like wait and see, file away for later. I think you and I, the rest of the crew, it's like, let's see where we stand four games in his senior season.
I thought what was notable, Anna Adams was there in the Peach State with you, you know, getting the recruiting side of things. Antoine Hill's got official visits set up with Memphis and Florida. And I think Baylor has reached out as well. That's a new school. Dave Aranda and them are getting involved. I just want to know where is this recruitment going to go? You know, where does he end up? At one time, Duke was heavily in there. They already got their quarterback. He just seems like the guy that's out there.
Sense. You know, I don't really understand it. I thought he would have more of a market, you know, originally committed to Colorado. You really liked that move, right? I thought it kind of made sense for both parties. So, yeah, Memphis, Florida. Talk about Baylor as well. I mean, big year for Dave Aranda. They got to get it right. Silverfield signed the extension in Memphis. So I don't know. Like, the other thing is, like, I don't hate a Memphis fit for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind that at all. Like, he can kind of go to a place like that and kind of develop on his own timeline, if that makes sense.
He's one you're going to have to put in the crock pot, I think.
For sure. Crock pot, Dabo Swinney, shout out. All right. Last 2025 one I'll hit on here. Luke Nickel, you ready for this one?
I had him written down to bring up.
Yeah, we got the Miami fans in the chat, and I think they've been eager for us, you to see him live, me to see him live, got to see him live in Atlanta, and it was where we have him in the rankings is what I felt really good about. You know, kind of similar to Mims. I think you can kind of put him in that same bucket. Honestly, I thought Mims kind of showed more, but let's talk about Nickel. I mean, pocket passer. I thought he struggled when he had to play outside the pocket. Elite 11 does a really good job of really kind of seeing where these guys need to improve. But when he can't play with a base or he has to play off platform, that's kind of where he struggles. Now, from the pocket, short to intermediate, you can kind of see the reason why Shannon Dawson, Miami, kind of really like him. Quick distributor, balls out quick. There's really not a lot of thinking going on, which is good. You know, I mean, this is a guy that's played a lot of balls. So that being said, like from a physical toolkit standpoint, he was in that second tier, right? And there was a couple other guys that you felt really, really comfortable with. You know, we talked about Kamario Taylor. We talked about Bryce Baker. He was not one of those guys you would put in the pod. Right. But I also think I texted you, Drew. It's like his best ball is going to be played on Friday nights. That's kind of where he gets to kind of really kind of showcase his skill set, who he is. And like we talked about with Julian Lewis, that's kind of more his game. Now, in terms of the physical traits, how they project to Sundays, I don't know. I think that's kind of more in question here.
I think you put him in the full field reader process category. Like that is what Luke Nickel's X factor is. And I'm glad you brought up him off platform on the move. I thought that showed up when I saw him play down in Florida, first game of the junior season when Milton came down to play Western. I thought that was the one area where he kind of had his issues. Now he went on to win a state title and one of Georgia's highest classifications statistically, you know, where you want him to be. You know, but a guy we're going to continue to track. You know, I think what's the Elite 11 at now? Are they up to 10 invites?
I think getting close.
And they're going to bring 20 out there talking with Brian Stumpf. You got two more regionals, Vegas State College. You know, then those guys are going to meet. I'm waiting to see, all right, who kind of gets the last few golden tickets. You know, Bryce Baker was a surprise to me. Then, you know, I've been marinating on it. A lot of drive in the past 2 days. And I'm like, okay, I can totally see that one. You know, that one makes sense to me.
They've taken some interesting shots on guys that it's interesting. Baker, 6'2.5", Tramell Jones, 6'5". And I think if you and I were doing this, you know, I'd be interested to look at a guy like Grayson Wilson. I'd be interested looking at a guy like Kamario Taylor, right? But these guys have different – they have different objectives than you and I do, right? I mean, I think ultimately at the end of the day, we kind of want to see – what the upside looks like and so on and so forth. So quick little rundown on Luke Nickel there, Drew. 2026, you got FaZe and Brandon there, the new number one player in 2026 overall, the number one signal caller. I thought I saw from him exactly what I expected to see from him, not a finished product, but he's got 2 years left to play. And in terms of the frame, he's going to be able to put on weight. In terms of the arm talent, you know, this is a guy that's going to continue to have to develop in terms of like the nuance, playing with touch, being able to layer the football, all those type of things, being able to play with air. But in terms of just the way that he carries himself, he kind of goes through it. And the other thing, I thought he kind of had some nerves in the beginning of camp. And then I thought he kind of navigated through them. And then once he started playing pitch and catch, he was really, really good. So I honestly, for me, you know, it wasn't one of those you come away and you're like, okay, he's done, right? That's the guy. But in terms of us, I think we knew what we were doing early. I always say it, let's take a guy that we can grow with, develop with, and see mature. I feel really, really good that we found a guy that is going to continue to really kind of add to his athletic foundation as he develops into a passer. So first look at him, to me, checked a lot of boxes.
First in-person look,
yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, that, yeah, I was feeling good about that when you called me and I was at OT7 watching a few more, you know, high-profile quarterbacks throw there. I love it. What anything on the recruiting front with him? I know Anna Adams was talking.
Not much. The only thing I really read is it seems like Alabama in there doing a good job. So what? I don't know. I mean,
how about, still, how about, still early. How, How about Alabama also involved with Bryce Baker? I thought that was an interesting nugget from Anna Adams.
Keylon Russell. I mean, you know, they're involved with a lot of guys right now. So, I mean, they're still trying to figure it out. It seems like, you know, quarterback recruiting is an interesting thing. You got to do it years and years before. So DeBoer kind of getting there this year, still settling in, still trying to figure it out. So, Drew, that's about all I had. The last thing, Bobby Coleman. Cam Coleman's little brother, Bobby Coleman Jr., is a 2027. This kid is 5'11". He's at Phoenix City Central. Can spin the rock. I mean, this dude, like, you talk about just, like, feel, command, all those things that I talk about that all these rising seniors need to continue to work on. This dude's got it as a guy that's going to be a sophomore next year.
Does he have any offers yet?
I don't know. I haven't even looked. I kept looking at my roster, and I was like, who's this Bobby Coleman? And then I'm like, that's Cam Coleman's little brother. I mean, he's a stud, man. The biggest thing is, how much can he grow? What's he going to look like?
I would assume, Cooper, he's going to sprout like a weed.
That's what I thought. I mean, you think that, but you see the body type in person. It's not like his brother, right? But I would have been interested to see what Cam was like when he was a freshman as well. So,
since we're talking super young classifications, I got a funny story. Everyone I've told this has got a good chuckle. I was at OT7. You know, you wear the 24/7 sports shirt, people are going to say something to you. Like, there's this young kid sitting there. He's like, you're going to rank me one day. I'm like, okay. Like, what class are you in? He's like, oh, I'm a class of 2028. I'm like, okay. I'm like, where are you going to go to high school? He says, oh, I'm going to go to this private school for my freshman season. Then I'm transferring to this powerhouse. I'm excluding the names here. I'm like, oh, okay. So you already have your high school transfer figured out? And he's like, yeah. And then I took the kid's name. He was super nice. But everyone wondering about the, what is it, 3,000 players in the transfer portal? You have 12-year-olds that have already planned out their high school transfer move. Yeah, they're going to move when they get to college as well.
Pretty crazy. I mean, I guess that's just kind of where we are, but it all trickles down, right? We think about the trickle-down effect from the NFL and then how it affects the college game. I don't think we think about the high school game very much and how that's going to affect and impact and all those transfers. Something that I think we've talked about, we got to do a better job of documenting the player movement at the high school level. Guys, we appreciate you being locked in this Tuesday to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. Remember, you can find me and Andrew every Tuesday and Wednesday at noon Eastern time on the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. You can also find us on X. Make sure to like and subscribe.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're a little bit behind the clock, so this is going to be a shorter show, so we're going to continue to be up-tempo. Try to get out of here in the next 15 to 20. But Drew, OT7 Orlando, loaded event. I mean, you think about the number one player in the country, LSU commit quarterback Bryce Underwood, was doing backflips, stuff that you love, stuff that finds its way into the freaks list. Deuce Knight was there. Tavian St. Clair was there. Tramell Jones was there. You're just broad takeaways. I'll let you take it on everything you saw from over the weekend.
I mean, a six-pack of power four quarterback commits were there. You know, okay, it's 7-on-7, two-hand touch. I mean, I was standing there, and there were limited other media outlets, and I'm like, wow, you know, this is better than some of the Under Armour camps we've gotten this year in terms of, like, star power there. Coop, I think we got to start with Bryce Underwood. You know, hasn't been to an Elite 11 regional yet. Unclear if he's going to be at the Elite 11 finals. I think there is a good chance, just talking with the guys there, he's going to see him. But this might have been, that could have been the only exposure point to Bryce Underwood. He was playing for this team called Flow. It's a new 7-on-7 team, spelled the Cajun way, with the X at the end. Ryan Clark was the coach. And I thought it was a masterclass on Sunday from Bryce Underwood. He was able to kind of, you know, navigate those chartered waters between like risk and reward. I only charted him with one turnover worthy throw, and maybe I missed a few passes here and there. But Coop, he took his chances and he threw guys open, but at the same time, he protected the football. Big arm, multiple 40-yard touchdown passes. I thought it was a really encouraging performance from Bryce Underwood, because really the last exposure point we have to him is back during Thanksgiving. They're in the state title game, where in his final drive of the junior season, it was not good. I mean, there was like four passes in a row where I'm like, ooh, you know, he's probably going to want those ones back. So for him to come out in this setting and, you know, get his team to the semifinals, they ran into Low Pro, which is like a service academy of 7-on-7. They're all scheme X and O's, and you know, they'll dice you up. I thought it was a really good showing from Bryce Underwood. Yes, the backflip certainly stood out to me, but just the frame, man. You know, he's 6'3", 200 pounds. He's young for his age. He can add a ton of mass, like athletic, how you want him to look. And, you know, we kind of teased it. All right, hey, is Tavian St. Clair going to make a run for this QB1 spot? I still think, you know, that is certainly on the table, because Tavian St. Clair was also in Orlando. He was a top performer for me. You know, this was his first 7-on-7 club tournament. Remember, in Ohio, OHSAA wouldn't let those guys play club 7-on-7. They'd be ineligible. They've gone and changed the rule. Now those kids can play. So Tavian, you know, physically, there was a few other reporters, Gabby Arudia from the Miami site, Zach Blostein from the Florida State site. They were kind of like, oh, all right, that's Tavian St. Clair's build. I mean, he is 6'4", 225 pounds. I don't know if I said it on here, kind of like looks like Justin Fields with the hairstyle now. Loose stroke, made some real wow throws, and not surprising after seeing him at the Elite 11 regional there in Ohio 2 weeks ago. You know, there were some mistakes. You know, you're trying to learn an offense and, you know, on a flight down into MCO. So I thought it was good for him. And then the one guy I really want to talk about, Deuce Knight, Notre Dame commit. Saturday, I think it's the best I've ever seen from Deuce Knight. He was lights out. He's a streaky player. That's the word I'm used for Deuce. He is streaky. When he's on, he's on. When he's off, he's off. Saturday, he was on. Coop, one game, he went 8 for 8, 160 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he could not miss, right? It's like a 3-point shooter. You know, that bucket keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as the games went on. And he was just dialed in. We know he's an athletic freak, 42-inch. Vertical jump, 4.2 in the shuttle, 4.6 in the 40-yard dash. Like, this shouldn't be his element. And I thought he did some really encouraging things in breaking routes over the middle, connecting with authority, dropping some two balls with touch. Sunday kind of struggled a little bit with the ball placement, but I thought this was encouraging. And I know you had him, right? He was your alpha dog of the Elite 11 Oxford a few weeks ago.
Correct. Yeah. And just goes to show, I mean, we talk about it all the time, ascending players, right? And I think Deuce Knight, the offseason that he's had, the biggest thing that we want to take away, obviously he's done some really good things. He's done it in the 7-on-7 setting. He's done it in the Elite 11 setting. I want to see, can that translate to the field as a senior? So, I mean, if you're talking about a guy that is going to have a really important first four games as it pertains to the rankings, and that's not really important for Deuce Knight, but I think for us, we're really excited about seeing what this guy's going to look like, right, this season. I mean, transferred from Lipscomb Academy back to the state of Mississippi as a junior. He hasn't really had that continuity yet. I think that environment for him, having that full offseason, going back, knowing what to expect, is going to be really, really beneficial for him.
Oh, there's a video in the 24/7 sports system. So I know we've already talked about this and compared him. He is this year's DJ Lagway, potentially. 20 starts, 7-13 record. He's completed 56.8% of his passes. You know, he's rushed for 1,000 yards, but 8.6 yards per attempt, not kind of where you want to see it. So we're going to get him at the Elite 11 finals. And then exactly what you said early on in that senior season is going to be so important. And I'm surprised, you know, he's not, I mean, obviously we have some say in the All-American Bowl, but he's not in one of these All-Star games yet. You know, guy I have circled personally.
He would be the ideal candidate, right? Like you think about, we had Walker White last year. Deuce Knight's one of those guys, like, you want to see him. You want to see them the most you can possibly see him to do the most homework you can possibly do. Because I don't want to say volatile, but that projection is certainly one that you get excited about. But it's a ceilings and floor game. You can get excited about the ceiling, but also at the same time, Deuce Knight's certainly a guy that's got a lot of areas of his game he wants to shore up. Drew, real quick, Tramell Jones, what were your thoughts on him?
I thought it was another good showing for him, you know, and you went back and read my write-up. I mean, I've seen Tramell Jones at so many different events, and he has been great at the Elite 11 Regional. He's been great at multiple tournaments. He's been great at camps. What stands out about Tramell Jones, after I dug back in, is he's going to be a four-year starter, and he has improved his in key statistics every single year. You know, would you say 6'1", 198 pounds? I think that's on him, you know. Loved how he pushed the ball down the field. Another guy we're going to get at the Elite 11 Finals. We're also going to get him against IMG Academy early on in his season. Jacksonville Mandarin's going to take on IMG in that secondary. So certainly in our eyes. And then Coop, real quick, I just wanted to, you know, go through some other guys, skill guys that stood out. Vernell Brown, wide receiver out of Orlando Jones, slot target, chunk play machine. This guy's got the juice in him. And obviously dad played at Florida. His sister also runs track at Florida. Ohio State leads on the crystal ball. I think you need to keep an eye on the Gators there. I could see them selling him on the idea of being another Eugene Wilson in that offense, right? A guy you kind of get creative with, get him some jet sweeps, move him around, create mismatches. He certainly stood out. And then Harlan Berry, our number two ranked running back, played exclusively wide receiver. It's difficult when there's no shoulder pads to produce yards after the catch, but he somehow found a way to steer through traffic and keep the chains moving. And then on the deep routes, just use that 4.37 speed to get deep. Think about Bryce Underwood, DeCorian Moore, Harlan Berry, Brad Davis on that O-line. Like, there's a lot to like about LSU's offense and what that could be in the coming years.
I like the fact that he's playing exclusively receiver, because I thought that's one of the things that has, like, separated him from the running back group, is his pass catching ability and kind of what you can do with him in the return game, the passing game as well. He's a utility guy. You can move around. So that's going to be pretty interesting. LSU, what? How many backs are they taking this year? What do we have? We got Barry. We got the kid from Alexandria, I think they just took. And potentially Simon hasn't committed, right?
Yeah, James Simon was also there. He was doing some good things. I don't know. I just did a radio hit. Like, I know LSU's class is ranked third as it stands on April 30th, but I think if you did a straw poll of all of us at 24/7 Sports, like, and we had to choose a recruiting class we're buying stock in, it would be LSU right now. Am I wrong on that, Cooper? Like,
pound
you got
for
the
pound.
Offensive trio.
Like, quality-wise, I mean, yeah. You're going to be hard-pressed to – that skill group offensively, between Underwood, Berry, DeCorian Moore, right? And then obviously the bevy of backs too that you have as well. So,
and then Devin Harper, Tyler Miller, you know,
doing some good things, man. Doing some really good things. Guys, I mentioned the recruiting pod where you can find us on Tuesday and Wednesday. Well, how about 247sports.com? Make sure to visit wall-to-wall team coverage, recruiting rankings, transfer portal updates as well. Our friends Matt Zenitz, Chris Hummer have been extremely busy. We will talk just a little bit about the portal a little bit later in the show as we continue to put our foot on the gas pedal. And Drew, the transaction wire, busy over the weekend. Jerome Miles, let's start there. Number 193, number 18 receiver in the country from Utah, commits to Ole Miss, right? And you think about Jackson Dart, he commits to the Rebels on Sunday. Rebs also had Keelan Russell on OV. You guys know we're a big fan of Keelan Russell, but Jerome Miles, getting to dig into him this morning. I'm a fan, and he's a puppy. I mean, he is only 15 years of age. He had an ankle injury last year, came back for the playoffs, as you've noted. But between the track and field data, what he offers there, sub 10.7 guy, maybe sub 10.6. I could be wrong.
10.57.
There you go. But he is a vertical playmaker. And what I mean by that is a guy that I think should thrive in a Ole Miss offense that loves to take shots. He's not a number one, but you're talking about a number two or a number three. I think he's that number three vertical option, and he's got more to him to really kind of develop into a number two. But this dude, man, I was like, whoa. So I'm a big, big fan of this kid.
Yeah, and he's got a ton of fans at on the 24/7 sports scouting team. Like, this is like Hudson Standish is one of his guys. Greg Biggins is on the boat. I'm on the boat. You said it. Broke his ankle in the middle of the season and then came back in the playoffs. You know, we got guys that can't even run 40-yard dashes out here. And this kid broke his ankle, rehabbed, and went on to catch passes. Coop, remember when we were at the scouting symposium 2 years ago? And who was talking about why they drafted George Pickens, about how George Pickens' rehab? And he could have just prepared for the NFL draft, but he put in the work to have a chance to play in the college football playoff. And that was one of the main reasons why the Steelers were sold on him. And I know this isn't apples to apples, but Jerome Miles, to me, the fact that he's wired that way, where, hey, I'm going to, you know, break a critical component of my game, come back and then play. I love it. Also, like, when is the last time Ole Miss went into Utah for a recruit? That's got to be a first.
You know, and I don't want to get, I know we're up against the clock a little bit, but like, how do you let this happen if you're one of those teams in the West Coast now in the Big Ten? I don't really understand it. Surprised Oregon wasn't able to get this done. USC, I look at teams like that. Utah, obviously a player in their own backyard, but I just look at a player and you think about Ole Miss going up to Utah. This is a guy that doesn't come out of that state very often, or even that footprint. So for Ole Miss to be able to go do that, and I'm sure a lot of people will, the rebuttal will be, obviously Ole Miss is a very proven program when it comes to NIL.
I should point out Jackson Dart is from Utah, but signed with USC, transferred.
Even still, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I get the connection. All right, another one, Notre Dame, big pickup on Sunday. Dallas Golden, number 83 player, top 100, number 9 safety. And guess where? Berkeley Prep, Irish, holding on to the number 1 ranked recruiting class. Drew, I like this for a lot of reasons. I like Dallas Golden. I like the player. I like the fact that Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame, were not deterred by Keon Keeley, went back to the watering hole and are able to get this one done.
Yeah, and we list them as a safety. I know, I'm sure Notre Dame fans are going to point out that they're taking him as a corner. Coop, he's really just kind of like a perimeter utility man. I mean, he's ran for back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons there, and they kind of use him as a wildcat quarterback. Berkeley Prep, interesting little offense. He was the best player on the field in the state title game, Berkeley Prep versus Miami Norland, scored 2 touchdowns, ran for over 100 yards, you know, picked off 5 passes this past season. He's got to put on some weight. I think that's kind of my big concern. I like him more as a safety than I do as a corner, but he's going to offer some versatility in there in South Bend. I mean, he's a guy that can play on the inside. I think you could play him corner as well. And then I think he could play, you know, 2-3 different safety spots or fill in the different roles there. You bring up a good point. I mean, Notre Dame going back into Florida, this is a kid that Florida's Big Three wanted. I mean, Georgia was involved at one point heavily. I remember seeing him in the state playoffs. He was wearing Georgia gloves during his game at American Heritage High School. So nice addition for them, and they still have the number one ranked recruiting class, Notre Dame.
Couple of quick things to think about over the weekend that happened. Nebraska had their spring game. Dylan Raiola, you think about that, number 7 player in the country. Certainly a guy that I would say was scrutinized, might not be the right word, but I mean, you think about a quarterback pretty much from start to finish in the evaluation process. This was a guy that was nitpicked heavily, and a lot of that for good reason. He had a big day, 16-22, 239 yards, 2 touchdowns, an INT. That was the good. The INT, you go back, you wash it, tip ball, could have had that one back. And then the other one, 5-star Jordan Seaton. He's working at left tackle with the ones for Deion Sanders in Colorado. So, Drew, just your overall quick reaction to spring, right? We need to add that context. It's spring. But your overall quick reaction to what you saw from some of these former five stars.
Well, I want to dig into the tape on Seton. I think I read a pretty slanted pro Colorado take on the spring game. They said Seton shut down the left side of the field and protected Shadur, made him look really good. We thought he was going to play. I don't know. I mean, running him with the ones, I guess Colorado's got nothing else there. There's going to be some lumps, certainly going to be some lumps there. So, yeah, we'll wait and see, but not surprised he's in the lineup. And then Raiola, that's encouraging. That makes you feel a little bit better, that performance, right?
For sure. I mean, you go back and shout out to, I got to look up the tweet. I will do that and make sure I give him credit. But there is a news organization in Lincoln from the press box that had all balls thrown, all 22 passing attempts at Dylan Raiola. It was good to really see it. And it was kind of what we saw at Buford. The deep ball is really, really good. He is really, really natural playing off platform, playing outside of the pocket. That part of his game, I think there's some things that you want him to be a little bit more decisive. But, I mean, just the arm talent alone, I think the one thing that I've always respected about Dylan Raiola, everybody looks at the arm and they look at the ability to kind of make every throw on the field. His ability to kind of do the things that we talk about so often, right? Like the things that are really hard to coach are the timing, the anticipation, the ability to put air under the ball. And he made some throws this weekend just from a ball placement standpoint that are really, really encouraging. I tweeted about it over the weekend. Like the biggest thing for Nebraska, you have to protect this kid's confidence, right? So that's the biggest thing. And sure, it was a very encouraging debut. That being said, if I'm Matt Rhule, I got to have a plan in place to really just make sure, understand the investment that I have. I know he's going to get a lot of run, but really, really manage internal and external expectations when it comes to Dylan Raiola. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that he can play, but this is going to be a development with the roster that is going to continue to be built around him, right? So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm more of like, all right, let's manage expectations here. There's a lot to like, but in terms of Nebraska, the outlook, and you know, it would be huge if they rolled him out there and they, you know, had a bowl game appearance, right? And you're one of the Dylan Raiola era. So that's kind of.
You think bowl game would be the way? You don't think he starts it?
No. I'm saying it would be huge for Dylan Raiola in Nebraska if, you know, he's starter day one and they make a bowl game. Not the Nico plan of, you know, playing in the Cheez-Its Bowl.
Okay. I just needed to clarify. I mean, they open up against UTEP, Colorado week two.
First five games at home, though. Like that's a big thing, right? Especially for a quarterback, I believe.
Five of six are at home, then they got to bye.
First five is six. So, I mean, that's if you're looking for an ideal situation to build confidence for a young signal caller, I think that's it. And then Drew on the Seton, I think you and I kind of expected him to – I'd be more surprised if he wasn't running with the ones, right? Bumps and all. I mean, throw him out there. That's why you got the guy. I mean, like for Colorado – that line statistically and literally can't get any worse. Like, you know, that's why you brought in Jordan Seton. So, no surprises there. Guys, we got a show today. Transfer Portal Tracker Show, 5:00 Eastern, as the portal comes to a close. Make sure to lock in 24/7 Sports YouTube channel, 5:00 Eastern time. Everything you need to know with the transfer portal. That will be happening this afternoon. Drew, real quick, the cover athlete, right? You brought that up. It seems like NCAA for EA Sports College Football, I should say, there's going to be a cover athlete for each Power Four program. Is that right?
Yeah, I think. I don't know. Who do you think is going to be on the cover? It's Travis Hunter for sure, right?
I think we know the Big 12. It's either going to be Shador or Travis Hunter. Big 10? I don't know. Am I missing something? I mean, I don't know who that could be.
SEC, what, Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, James Pierce?
Those would be layups. Maybe James Pierce. I mean, the other thing is, like, do you think this will have an impact or, like, make an impact? And this is the first time it's ever been done that the cover athlete
will be
still be in college, right? So you wonder, like, how big of a, I don't want to say needle mover, but that's something, right?
Opening, putting your name in front of a lot more eyes, for sure.
For sure. But from an NIL standpoint, too, I mean, you can see, like, these, the EA is going to have their hands in, like, this is a big deal now for, I mean, if you're James Pierce, PFF came out with their mock draft. He's the number one player on their big board right now. If he gets the cover, James Pierce, from an NIL standpoint, you know, from a negotiation leverage standpoint, has got all the ammo, right? And that's it. That's kind of a way that I think about it, if that makes sense.
What about in the ACC? Cam Ward?
I think Cam Ward would be a good one for sure.
Cade Klubnik?
Yeah, I mean, you got quarterback changes at Florida State, Miami. Klubnik, I don't know. You know, I don't know if there's enough oomph there. I think EA would be rolling the dice with Cam Ward, but I would kind of love it. You know, I think some of these, looking back, are going to be really, really cool. Like, that guy was on the cover of EA Sports, you know? Like, it's going to be fun to see.
Unless there's, like, a cover curse.
Well, people always think that. All right, you ready for some questions?
Yeah. I know you got to run. Let's go.
No, you're good. Canes Cats. Question to Andrew and Cooper. Going forward, will you bump or drop a player in the rankings depending on where they go? Example, Miami. We don't do a great job at the current moment developing five stars. I think we've talked about this on the show. No. Is it something we talk about behind the scenes? Yes. Is it something that should or can impact their current ranking in terms of how they project? No, you cannot do that. That is not fair to the players. So,
and I think the other thing, no. You can't do that now with just how much movement there is, player movement. Hummer pointed this out. Of our top five interior offensive linemen from last cycle, Cooper, two of them have already transferred. I mean, we're not going to be in that business of, all right, this player is going there. I mean, and just the coaching staff turnover as well. I mean, we're grading them how we grade them. Now, you know, when they end up signing with a school that develops a certain position well, then, yeah, you're going to feel a little bit better, but not something we're doing.
Okay, last one, because, guys, if you're in the chat, you're asking questions about, hey, where's this guy going? Where is he leaning? I think, Drew, we need to have Tom Loy on tomorrow, right?
Well,
seems about time.
He's on vacation, man.
He's in the Caribbean, huh?
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah.
We'll find someone.
Tom goes to Sandals every year and just rips it down there for a week or two, which I don't blame him. I'm very jealous. But we will find somebody to come in and answer these questions. But the last one for us is from Andrew. He wonders how Akili Smith looks this year. I haven't seen him mentioned in any Elite 11 camps, but I know he's listed by 24/7 as a number 9 overall quarterback.
I don't think he has been at a Elite 11 regional. I don't also think he has played 7-on-7, not at the tournaments I have been at. Think there is a chance he will be at Elite 11 Las Vegas. That's unconfirmed. Usually what happens is, you know, those are kind of like the last cattle call. They'll get some guys there at these cities that are easy to fly to. Would not be surprised if he's there. I'll say this on Akili, you know, you dig back into the junior season. I thought his final game, he did some really, really encouraging things in terms of, you know, 2-minute drill, getting his team down the field, moving both inside and outside the pocket. Coop, I think you've only seen him throw at the Future 50 last year, right? That was the only time you saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just hasn't popped up on the offseason circuit yet. I think he's got tools. For sure.
I don't want to, I've done this before and I feel like sometimes you get frustrated with me when I say this, but,
okay.
At least in my head on I feel like there could be a good amount of quarterback shuffling in the next update.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, that's the plan. I think there's going to be movement inside the top 247. I think there's going to be movement, outside of, you know, the top 247. How do we want to rank those quarterbacks, you know, what, 20 through 32. I think we have some strong thoughts there. And then we'll get back in after the Elite 11, which is mid-June, and reshuffle again with the quarterbacks.
Last question here, because I love this guy, Mario Nash. He says, what do y'all think about Big Nash Jr. winning MVP yet again at another camp? I believe that was a rivals camp. It came across my timeline. We can't be there at those camps for obvious reasons, but Mr. Nash, I saw Mario a couple weeks ago. I like Mario. I think, you know, I'm very excited about him. I'm excited about his future. I think his future is at center. Love the body quickness, love the foot quickness. He's nasty, can anchor, can reset. Big fan of him. Junior, now that we have confirmation that this is Mario Nash Senior coming by, but big fan of Junior. And obviously, like we said, we got an update coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
He could be blocking for Kamario Taylor or Julian Lewis. Official visit set up, Miss State and USC.
Shout out Mr. Nash coming through, man. We love the dads on here. I think Grayson Wilson's dad was on here one time. So anytime you guys can pop by, just imagine you guys in your office or wherever you are right now, just, you know, 12:15, 1:15, having a sandwich, popping on the recruiting pod. So we appreciate that. Drew, any last thoughts here before we get out of here?
No, man. Let's try to find a guest for tomorrow. Let's get that in the works.
Within the network?
Yeah. I got another good idea for the show as well.
Okay. All right. Well, let's execute, man. We can't just tease it. We got to execute. Guys, we appreciate you stopping by. For Andrew Ivins, I'm Cooper Patagna. Please make sure to like and subscribe to the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. If you like the Oyster Boys, tell a friend. 24/7, 365. We're talking recruiting. We're talking about it all, man. Everything you need all right here. Like I said, for Drew, I'm Coop. We'll see you tomorrow.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.